Medicine, Mom, and Social Media, an interview with Dr. Donna Coryell, a very enthusiastic physician. Welcome to the 301st episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Before I introduce our guests, I'd like to invite you to attend the Reapplicant's Guide to Medical School Acceptance, which I will present on March 19th at 4 p.m. Pacific. Make sure your next medical school application is your last one and a successful one. Learn what you need to do so that you can join fellow med students at a 2020 white coat ceremony launching your career as a physician. The webinar is free, but you do need to reserve your seat at exhibit.com/301download. Again, exhibit.com/301download. And we'll, of course, also have a link in the show notes at exhibit.com/301. Now, I'm thrilled to introduce our fascinating guest, Dr. Donna Coryell, who graduated from my alma mater, UCLA, and then went to medical school at the Sackler School of Medicine at Tel Aviv University, graduating in 2003. She did her residency in internal medicine at Albert Einstein in New York City. Since then, she has served as assistant professor of medicine at Mount Sinai, practiced medicine, and in 2017 became director of quality at Highland Medical, also in New York. She's also been very involved in social media, and we're going to hear a lot more about that. Donna, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share some of the experiences I've had in life.
Okay, great. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up, and how you got interested in medicine?
Sure. So I was born in Israel. I moved to the United States at around age 10. We moved to the Los Angeles area, a place, a little town called Walnut. I attended UCLA as an undergraduate, and I earned a degree in a Bachelor of Science degree in neuroscience. And I then went to medical school in Israel at the Tel Aviv University Sackler School of Medicine and earned my medical degree. And then I went back to New York, actually, because I met my husband, who was my classmate. I came back to New York and I did my residency at Albert Einstein Montefiore. And then I basically worked in the jobs that you mentioned. Something that's very interesting about me that's a little different is that I took about 3 years off during that time to stay home and be mom to my three boys, which was fabulous and shaped me and helped me to become who I am today. And we can talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it right now. I'm sure that there are other physicians who sometimes think about taking maybe that. I'm not talking about a gap year now. I'm talking about you've done all your training. Maybe you've had a physician position and you decide, you know what? I want to take time off. I want to take time off to be a mom, to be a dad, to do whatever you want to do. Were you scared about making that decision? Did you enjoy the time off? What made you come back? You know, there must have been a lot going on at that point.
There's a multifaceted answer to that because, yes, I was extremely scared. I had spent years and years of my life to become a physician. It was extremely difficult not only to get in, but also to go through the process. I mean, it's a lonely process. It's a difficult process. So to take time off of there was extremely scary, but it was very valuable to me. And the value actually came in exactly that, in that I took time away from medicine. And so I was able to sort of discover things about myself that I never knew that I had. And so we take this like straight path into medicine and we don't get a chance to sort of stop and smell the roses, right? To look around and to see what maybe we are talented in other than the sciences. And so that's the opportunity I had. It just came about a different way. I took the time off to be mom to my kids and to sort of get to know my kids. I know that that sounds funny to many people who hear this, but when you're a physician and when, especially in my shoes, I had my first son when I was an intern. Those are times that are extremely difficult, that we are working our butts off in a hospital with patients, and we don't have time to connect with a child. And that's what happened with me. And so I needed time to connect with him. And thankfully, when I took time to connect my children, I was able to not only do that, but to then discover this whole new side of myself.
How old were your children when you took time off?
I have three boys. I had given birth to my third son when I took time off.
Wow. And the oldest at that point was what, 5 or 6 or something in that range?
He's 14 now. He's a freshman in high school. And so it was about 4 or 5 years ago. He was around 10.
Oh, all right. And he was older.
Yeah. And they're 3 years apart. So it was right. So it was
okay.
10. I mean, when I went back, they were 10, 7 and 4.
Got it. And what did you discover about yourself when you were taking time off?
I discovered a lot of things, but one of the things I discovered that is really useful today is that I'm very creative, and that creativity puts me in a good place. And what I mean by that, and the reason I'm sort of talking about it, is because doctors need it right now more than ever. I think the word burnout, it's been a little bit overused in the media, but the word burnout really applies to physicians, because there's so many things in healthcare that are broken that we're trying to unite on a different front to fix them. But part of fixing burnout is also finding out within yourself what's missing in life that could make it better. And so that's one of the things that I do with my SOMI docs, is help physicians to find their voice, whatever that voice may be.
For you, what was it?
That's such a great question, because I do so much. But my favorite thing, the thing that makes me happy, puts me in a good place, is expressing myself. So it's either my creative writing. I write on a blog. It's on drcoriel.com. And it's also photographing. It's traveling and discovering new places, especially with my family. And then it's sharing that experience with the world in a very fun, light, humorous way. That literally gives me pleasure.
Okay. Now, I looked at both the SOMI docs and the drcoriel.com sites, and I know you run both of them. And judging by the volume of the writing on your sites and the quality of it, which is excellent, you also love to write. Have you always been a writer, or is this something that you started doing when you took time off to be with your kids?
No, not at all. And that's exactly what you're touching on, is exactly what I want listeners to hear, and especially physicians, but anybody really. It's amazing what you can discover by giving yourself time. And so, no, I'd never written, really. I mean, I always sort of dabbled in the arts here and there, nothing major, right? But I never wrote. And you know what? I didn't write very well when I first started to write. But things started to take shape. I started to think about things more. And my writing certainly evolved, and I think that I've gotten better. My ultimate goal is to write a book, whether it's a fiction book or it's a book about my life and about just funny things or things that make you think, because that moves me, whether I write it or not. Those are the things that make me pause each and every day. And I'm talking about like random things that I look at that then sort of metaphorically symbolize something that make me start to think. Yeah. And it's an interesting conversation to be had by all.
Yes, it is. Our daughter-in-law is a graphic designer, and I am not a very visual. I enjoy photography, but strictly dilettante. I never got past like stick figures.
Right.
And my daughter-in-law is very talented. And shortly after they were married, we took a trip to Yosemite, and we were walking around a meadow, and there was a log, you know, a dead tree off the path. And she took a picture of it, and she saw the pattern of like the old branches that had broken off sticking up. And I walked past it. I didn't see anything. She took a picture, and it was this gorgeous picture. And it was like looking at the world through a different lens. It was fascinating to me.
I mean, Linda, that so connects with me. I so get that, because that is me. I will be anywhere and think. Even sounds and smells will elicit a thought for me that is creative. And so that's why I'm so pulled to writing a story. I have so many unique ideas, but I need to channel them into something. And that's where a blog really helps me. And that's where, like, if people check out like my Instagram accounts, like, it's not just a picture of you, it's a picture of you tweaked and from a different angle. And that's something even on my blog that I wrote about, is how can you make your photos more like textured, appeal to all the senses, right? And so I get that all the time, especially from physicians. They see my photos and they say to me, how did you get it to look like that? Even photos that I take with my iPhone, they'll say, how? And, you know, some of it is my ability to edit, and some of it is just a unique way to sort of look at the world in very unique angles.
Okay. So. Sounds good. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is interesting, though. It's you know, go through life and you discover different things about yourself. Now, you attended medical school in Israel. How was that experience enriching or difficult? Now, obviously, I guess you were born in Israel and you came to the United States as a child, so you were quite familiar with the country. But most of your education was in the U.S. educational system, and your teen years were here. Did you find it an enriching experience in terms of medical school abroad? Did you have difficulty coming back to the United States? Talk to us a little bit about that.
It was an amazing experience. I would not trade it for anything, because it was probably some of the most amazing years of my life, those 4 years. It's incredibly enriching to be in another country. Even if I was born there, just to go back as an adult is obviously a different phase in your life. And so just to absorb a different culture, to absorb a different language, a different healthcare system, I think it added a lot to my own personal growth, because I come from a family where I'm an only child. And so to go to the opposite side of the world, for in my instance, was incredibly helpful in growing on a personal level. So I loved it. I had an amazing time. Was it difficult? First of all, medical school is extremely difficult. Right. It was the same exact test that everybody here takes when they go to medical school, and more, because it was still considered a foreign medical school. So I had to take like all the extra steps additionally. Was it difficult to get back into the States? I mean, realistically, yeah, it's harder for us than it is for people that go to school in the US, because it's a foreign med school. And so it's considered almost different. And I don't think that, you know, whatever it is, I mean, it was fine. I mean, I landed a great residency, and so did my husband. I was at Albert Einstein. He was at Mount Sinai. We had great training, and I'm in the same place today as everybody else is. And so it only helped in adding an enriching experience. I loved it. If anybody listens to the show and wants to hear more about it, I'm glad to share it. Or maybe even like, if a lot of people want to hear about that specific experience, I can always write a blog post about it so that more people
can. I think, it'd probably be a good idea, actually, because it's a question that comes up. We've had clients occasionally go to Sackler, and a friend's son actually went to Sackler. He then got like an incredible residency and then got into a fellowship program. I think it's one of the hardest to get into in the particular area that he was specializing in. He did fine.
Right. I mean, I'm a board certified internist, just like any other board certified internist in the U.S. Yeah. My husband's a board certified cardiologist. He does a lot of things. We both are successful individuals. We're extremely happy. We're, again, enriched with the experience of having been taught in a different country. Right. Is it easier sometimes to get into a residency program from Sackler than it is maybe from other schools? Yeah, it might be. Probably, I mean, it is an American program. Yeah. So, you know, first of all, it is in English. So anybody who's contemplating going to a foreign program in a country where English is not the primary language, it is taught in English, and most people in Israel do speak English. So that's not an issue. And it was easier to get a residency spot in the States than other programs are. And so not to say we didn't work hard. We worked really hard.
Yeah, well, medical students in America work hard when they try and when they apply to residency programs too. I mean, Now, you've gone through medical training. We, you know, discussed that briefly in residency, and you've taught physicians in training. What do you think pre-meds frequently don't get about both the training they're going to be going through and medical practice? They're somewhat naive about it. Well, you know, what would you like them to know that they don't understand?
Oh, wow. There's so much I want them to know. Let me think of what's really would be helpful. Most likely help the thing that would help the most is maybe just to remind everyone that there's more to life than just medicine. it's an extremely isolating experience to go through the medical path. And I think that's probably the most valuable thing I can give to anyone that's in training, is that you sort of just have, some people have like a tunnel vision with medicine. And it's sometimes detrimental to think that way, because life is so much more than just medicine. And I experienced it myself when I became a mother and a parent. My son, I didn't connect with him on a level that I would have liked to connect, because I was so busy day in and day out doing the whole medical thing. And I'm happy that I did, because it gave me a career and I'm so thankful for that. But there's also something to be said about relationship with your kids. And not to say that everyone necessarily needs to take the time off, not at all. I have fabulous female physicians that I'm friend with that work full time and that are connected to their kids very much so. But just to remember that there's other aspects of life than just medicine. So like, it's okay to dabble and to not let go of hobbies and to remember your friends and to really focus on things that make you happy and not just like constantly like get tired of working towards that end goal of being a physician.
Now, you mentioned that it's isolating. That's kind of an interesting term to use. You're obviously with your fellow medical students constantly. You're clearly interacting with patients. You mentioned that you didn't quite have the same relationship with your first son, but I mean, what can you go into that a little bit more? In what way is it isolating?
Absolutely. First of all, just to put it out there, because in case my son listens to this, I have a fabulous relationship. It was just back then when I just wasn't around, but I've been able to be there for him, and we have such a great relationship, and I'm so thankful for the things I've done to do that. But it's isolating in many ways. One of the ways I can think of is, you know, you're there for people's illnesses. You're there for people's downsides. You're not usually there for people's healthy things, right? They don't make appointments with you if they're healthy. I mean, they do with me. I'm a primary care doctor, and I love that part. Annual exams where people are like, and you know, doing their best, but you're there for people to cry to and to say I'm in pain. And so you're almost like a sponge, and you're like,
also delivering sometimes bad news.
Oh, for sure. But you're also like, in order to be there for someone and to help them, you have to give it your all. And you sometimes have to absorb their illnesses and their negativity and the things that don't work for them, almost in a way to help them. You're like taking it from them and you're taking it on yourself and you're converting it and making it better. And that makes it extremely isolating because you're sort of taking that all in and then translating it into positive. So at the end of the day, you have all the negatives in you. And of course, it's important for physicians to learn to sort of leave the baggage at the door, right? Like leave all the negatives there and go home and sort of like forget what's, and it's hard because our work doesn't involve leaving it at the door, right? We take call. Like I go home and I'm answering calls for patients that need medications or are sick. It's very difficult. And that's what I'm saying. It's very isolating. And another way it's isolating is just, you're sort of the leader.
Yeah.
You're always on, right? You're always
on
stage.
You're the responsible one.
Yeah. You're always the responsible. You're always mom. And who's your mom? Like who's your leader and who's the person who's going to hold your hand as a physician? And that's what's really hard in medicine, is that you're sort of like the person people look up to solve things, but like, who's going to solve your things? You know, you don't always want to appear to be weak and be in a spot where you need the help. Very isolating.
Right. Okay. All right. Did you ever think medical school residency, did you ever think that you had made the wrong decision in choosing medicine, either before, not so much before medical school, mostly during and after medical school?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a physician out there that would tell you that they didn't hesitate, because it's so painful and rigorous to become a physician, that there's many times when you sit there and you go, why am I doing this? Any successful person will say that, because the road to success is extremely hard. You're not handed success on a silver platter. I mean, there's a famous image that I love of an iceberg that is peeking out of the water, and you see that underneath the water, there's this huge rock, but all you see at the end is this little tip. That success is that little tip. No one sees what you've done to build up for that, you know, to build up to that tip.
Right. That's what the Titanic hit.
Exactly.
Right. Right. I always ask that question because I think it's important for pre-meds to know that when they hit that moment, maybe a patient dies or they're overwhelmed with work or whatever it could be, that it's part of becoming a doctor. It doesn't mean that they should ignore the feeling. That's not what I'm saying, but it is part of the journey. What would you have done differently in your medical training as you look back on it? And again, I'm talking about the whole sweep of it. Would you have chosen to take off time earlier in your career? Would you have done, I don't know, what would you have done differently, if anything?
That's a good question. You know, maybe I may have chosen to take some more time off in the middle, meaning there was no reason to necessarily like rush to medical school. I think I was rushing to become a doctor, and okay. I think you need to, like I said before, and I'll say it again, take time off and smell the roses, because there's so much more to life than just being a physician. And honestly, I think it makes you a better physician when you have other interests. And that's part of what I do with my side gig.
With the SOMI docs. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a trend over the last 20 years, certainly I'm seeing it and statistics support it, that more and more medical students are taking a gap year between college, or two or three, between college and starting medical school, which I love what you're talking about.
I love that. Yeah. I think it's important. Like, for example, travel is huge for me. I think traveling is big. So if I could have traveled more when I was younger, I would have. And so I'm trying to sort of do that now and catch up a little bit when time permits.
Yeah, you were in Reykjavik and some of the place I couldn't even pronounce. And yeah. I saw that on your blog.
Yeah, I write about traveling.
Okay, so how do you manage medicine, a husband, three sons, writing, advocacy, two blogs, and that's only what I know about?
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I'm
like an honest answer.
Right. I don't have enough time on my hands. I mean, I've learned a few things as I get better at this time management thing. Is number one is to say no. And another thing is to care less and less about what others think. I mean, ultimately, I want to help people, but I can't always be a people pleaser. And that's something that's really, it hits home for me, because I was always a people pleaser. And in medicine in general, I think we try so hard to people please. That's what doctors do, is they help people, but you can't help anybody. And especially actually, as you succeed more and more, you're going to find these like roadblocks along the way. And you're going to find people that almost try to have you not succeed, and you've got to like push past it. And you've got to understand that there's going to be people that love you no matter what. And there's going to be people that make it more difficult.
Okay. Now you've talked about the importance of writing and maintaining other interests, if you will, in life. At the same time, you're clearly very enthusiastic about the practice of medicine. You seem to love what you do. With the awareness of the negatives or the downside of the practice, how do you maintain your enthusiasm for the practice of medicine? Because you seem to have both. You seem to be keenly aware of the difficulties and at the same time be very happy that you're a doctor.
I think that's the key here to happiness in medicine. That's the problem with a lot of physicians nowadays. You may not know, but physicians are the number one field of suicide these days. So we have to really talk about mental health of healthcare professionals at this point because of that. So how I find it is I find the perfect balance. And when I'm not a perfect person either, even where I am today. Like there's days where I feel myself going down in the wrong direction. And the key here is that when you feel that things are not right or that you need a little break, you do just that. You take a break. And so that's what sort of keeps me sane and keeps me going, is that when I feel like I'm being pulled down into a bad place, I take the needed break that I need. For me personally, it's my family. So I take a break and I like put away all the social media stuff and all the stuff that I'm doing as a side gig, and I spend time with my children and my husband. You have to find whatever works for you that is your good place. And that's how I am able to do so much and to still be enthusiastic. You know what? I found a place in medicine that is conducive to my happiness. So for me, that means being a part-time physician, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm still a great primary care doctor. You'll hear from most of my patients who love me that I'm still a great primary care doctor, and I found a balance in doing what I do.
Okay, sounds good. So we've touched on SomiDocs, but I want to go into that a little bit more. What is SomiDocs and why did you start it?
SomiDocs stands for Doctors on Social Media. The term SOMI is social media. And the reason I started it was because I saw all the benefits in growing my own brand. So a long time ago, I started Dr. Coriel. That was when I still wasn't working. I started to write. I experienced so many amazing things with it, from personal growth to self-discovery to doors that were starting to be opened just by me putting my name out there. So in doing that, I had a lot of physicians sort of reach out to me and say, well, how did you do X and how did you do Y and how did you do Z? I decided that that was something that I wanted to share with other physicians. And so I created this group, this Facebook group that's physician only. It's called SomiDocs, Doctors on Social Media, to sort of connect with other doctors, to teach them what's out there, to share what we do. Because I realized that healthcare is not just about Dr. Coriel. It's about all the doctors out there. And changing healthcare is more than just about me. And so if I bring all these amazing, talented, motivating doctors into a group with me, and we amplify one another, that's where we become healthcare influencers of today. Because something I was seeing missing, and this bothered me, I was seeing medicine missing from social media. I was seeing like actresses and businessmen. I was seeing them sort of telling us whether to get a vaccine or not. But I wasn't seeing the doctors. And unfortunately, it's put us in a hole right now because a lot of medicine is not right these days. And social media doesn't vet your credentials. So anyone can say something and my patients are going to believe it. And it was becoming real. And so that's the issue, is really taking back healthcare and taking back the wellness of doctors and giving ourselves a voice together in a collaborative effort.
But the Facebook group, I can see it providing tremendous support to doctors because it's all physicians, right? It's not so much influencing patients who are getting poor information online, correct? That would be the Facebook group I'm talking about.
Right. The Facebook group is physician only. So within the group, we're there to support one another, to amplify. Right. But what we're amplifying is everyone's platform, meaning like I'm just one out of the, let's say, 2,600 physicians there. I'm just one out of them. So that's my platform. But then there's Dr. X, who's got their own platform that they're writing about pediatrics and about vaccines. And then there's a third doctor who's writing about head issues and headaches. And then there's a fourth one that's writing about, right, physician finances. I mean, off the top of my head, I can name like a bunch of doctors that are advocating for healthcare. And it's amazing the kinds of things that we could do together. But each one of us has a platform.
Got it.
So we're changing medicine one physician at a time, but together as my group, SomiDocs, it's here to change healthcare.
All right. And how is the website SomiDocs different from the Facebook groups SomiDocs?
The difference is that SomiDocs.com is accessible to anyone. And so when I created SomiDocs.com or DoctorsOnSocialMedia.com, I wanted it to be the central station for all physicians, but it's also for patients and it's also for med students. It's basically a place where you can land on to see what kind of work different physicians are offering. And so if you want to peruse through and see like, what are physicians writing about, or what kind of podcasts are physicians hosting, or what kind of Instagram accounts do doctors have, right? You can land on SomiDocs.com. That's right. But it's not just about me, right? Healthcare is about like the US and the world. And so this platform connects me, lowly old one person, me in the New York area, with like a person in with another doctor in Australia and another doctor in California. And we together change healthcare in that way.
Got it. Fascinating. Yeah. And of course, it would it would serve to address the isolation that you felt as a young physician too, to minimize it. No?
Completely. I mean, that's a great point, because these Facebook groups that are being created are also a great way to connect and to support. You know, it sounds funny, but it's very lonely to be present on social media because it's such a faceless thing. You're sitting behind a computer screen alone, even if you're talking to a million people. And so it's isolating. So to be a doctor and to dedicate time to amplify yourself in order to change healthcare, right? To reach a patient audience, you're kind of spending a lot of time behind alone. And so we need that group setting. We need each other to connect. I'm actually going to Grand Cayman in February to speak in a conference by Dr. Erica Howe on female physician wellness. That's one of my talks, is sort of learning how to leverage social media from a personal place, from in order to sort of create a tribe and to find the people that connect with you and that you find common things with.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Where do you see your career going in the future? So now you're a part-time physician internist, right? You also have so many docs. Obviously, you're a mom and wife. You have your whole personal life. Where do you see things going?
Well, my dream is to, like I said before, my dream still continues to be to write. I mean, I want to write books. I'd like to write a fiction book. I'd like to write books about my life. That is my goal. What I see happening at this point, more in the immediate future, is that SomiDocs is really rapidly growing. I mean, we've got a lot of publicity that is just naturally and organically growing just because of some of the really talented people in the group. I think my enthusiasm really helps with the group. I'm being invited to speak in different conferences.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and in different venues. And I'm actually motivating other physicians. So that's been wonderful. But ultimately, I would like to write. I mean, in my goal to write, this just happened to have evolved. And I'm very thankful for it. And I hope that other doctors sort of grow a voice in hearing how it's helped me to find mine.
Okay. What advice do you have? And we talked a little bit about this, but we talked, I think, more on the negative side. What advice do you have for pre-meds and med students? Is there a place for them on SomiDocs, the site, or the Facebook group?
You know, that's a great question. It's been asked on the group whether medical students should be a part of it. And that's something that we're considering, whether we should allow medical students in or not. For now, it is physician only. But that's why I branched out into the other platforms. And I sort of created these platforms that non-physicians and non-medical students join. So the website is accessible to anyone, and anyone can reach out to me with ideas on that. We hashtag our work across social media. So if you want to see what the SomiDocs create, you go to Twitter and you hashtag SomiDocs, or you go to Instagram or Pinterest and you hashtag SomiDocs. So that's a way to connect. And then I have many other ideas on how we can connect. And some of it is bringing conference to the table, which I'm doing. Some of it is that SomiDocs has actually got a new thing called SomiDocs Engage, which is the live mastermind sessions of these doctors in real life. Yeah. And so these major U.S. cities in the U.S., these physicians are stepping up as engaged leaders, as SomiDocs engaged leaders, to like meet with physicians live in order to make connections and to come up with collaborations. And so that's the next phase of this. And I'm hoping to grow that.
Would the purpose of these masterminds be to help them grow a practice, to help them grow an online presence?
I mean, the power in networking is multifaceted. I mean, you can grow many things when you just appear somewhere, when you just literally make it a priority to show up in a place that is about networking and about your own personal growth. Yes, the purpose is to grow your practice. The purpose is to how to amplify your voice. The purpose is to teach social media in a way that physicians can get in very easy terms so that they can connect with their patients in a much simpler way.
Okay. And would you encourage pre-meds and med students to engage with either physicians or people at the same stage of their medical training via social media?
100%. I think the connection is the key to success. I think that why not? And that's part of what has happened to me, is that I put myself out there. Now, it wasn't easy at all. I'm outgoing, but I'm also a bit more personal and reserved and sharing. And yet I made myself do this because I kept seeing like these doors opening on a personal level. And even from a personal perspective to share brought such positivity from people. I mean, some of the stories that I've shared out there are hard to put out there. I mean, I'm not giving any like personal secrets, but I'm kind of exposing myself. And that's part of the traditional concept of medicine that we're changing with social media, because the doctor has always sort of hidden behind the white coat. It was always this like revered position that you couldn't touch and you didn't really know anything about. And yet you're seeing your doctor on Instagram. Right. And suddenly you're seeing your doctor on Instagram with three kids. But you know what? Guess what? Doctors are human. So part of like breaking that glass that's sort of separating us, that separation, knocking down that wall, is helping doctors to achieve wellness, because it's okay to show the world that we're humans too. You know, we have vulnerabilities, we're fragile, and we cry. And I think that point is important for medical students to see, is that you're attending, the person in charge of your medical school admission, they're a person.
Right, right. Okay. What do you wish I had asked you? Anything in particular? Your path in medicine, social media, drcorial.com?
You know, I don't think there's any one thing right now I want to necessarily plug. I do want to plug the people that make up my community. I may have formed it. I may have created it. But without the really talented physicians that are in there. I mean, I have professors in there, and I have a faculty all over the US, and people that have their own really, really popular brands. There's some really big power players in there. It couldn't have been the same without them. And so I want to thank them. I want to thank Shika Jane for moderating the group with me, and every single one of the SomiDocs Engage leaders that are now stepping up. And I'm going to make it a point to show that in my site and everything, because they're working hard to amplify that platform and to grow it, but everyone's growing their own platforms while doing it. So I'm extremely thankful for it. So it's basically about the fact that SomiDocs is a big, big project, but that many physicians are now taking it on. And I'm extremely appreciative of the openness and the way in which people have embraced it.
Wonderful. Donna, I think we're running out of time, and I know you're very busy with lots and lots of different irons in the fire and a lot of different fires. I want to thank you so much for joining me today for the show, and I want to thank you for sharing your experience, your enthusiasm, and your perspective. Where can listeners find out more about SomiDocs and you?
My brand is Dr. Coriel. That's DrCorriel. So that's where you find me on all, that's my social media handle in every platform. And then I have a drcorriel.com with all my creative writings. Otherwise, SomiDocs can be found at SomiDocs.com. You could find us at SomiDocs on Twitter. And you can find us throughout social media with our hashtag SomiDocs. And if you're a physician listening to this, you can type into the search box doctors on social media to join.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to link from the show notes at accepta.com/301 to the sites that Donna just mentioned, as well as to other related resources. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 301st episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at accepta.com/301. And a quick reminder to sign up for our next webinar, The Reapplicant's Guide to Medical School Acceptance, which you can do at accepta.com/301download or via link at accepta.com/301. This is Admission Straight Talk produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.